Thank you very much. Oh, we didn't do a practice, but it's working. That's good. I suppose I should start with an apology, which is I'm not David Starbucks. Because if you follow the plan, you will have seen that David was supposed to be preaching this morning. If you came just to hear David, now is your chance to make an escape. And I won't look. But you've got me instead. And our theme this morning, we're going to be talking about practicing hope. Practicing hope together. I don't know how many of you were involved in the Whitney in pink yesterday. Today, I noticed several folks wearing pink today. I don't know if that was a mistake or a part of it, but we're going to be thinking about practicing hope. And for my money, Whitney in pink is a thing that helps us to practice hope together. We've got a theme verse that we're going to be pinning things around. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in God, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a verse from Romans. I had hoped that there might be some children here at the beginning of the service. Quite often our children arrive later than they should. But obviously one has to prepare some sort of children's interaction for them. And they're not here, but that doesn't matter because we're all children of God, aren't we? Yes, Jude. Yeah. And that means that whether or not you like it, we're going to have to do the children's bit, all right? So I'm going to have to ask for some pretend children. Now, I reckon that might terrify some people. So I thought to myself, there are some people wearing badges because your prayers, which means you must be all right with doing the odd thing. So I'm going to ask those of you that are, we've got a pretend child here. Carol's up for being a child. Those of you that are wearing a badge who don't mind being a child of some sort, come on. A couple of you, well done, well done. So, we're going to say some prayers together. Here we go. And we're going to try and encircle the whole church in a big pink ribbon. Now, this might not work because the ribbon might be long enough, but we're going to try. And we've got some words that are going to go up on the screen that are a Celtic prayer. The Celts loved imagery, and they loved using their bodies to pray as well as their minds and their words. And so as we encircle the church with our lovely pink ribbon, we're going to say this prayer together. I'm going to invite you, if you want to stand up, but feel free not to stand up if you don't want to. So let's say this prayer together as we stand. Circle us, O Lord. Keep hope within and despair without. Circle us, O Lord. Keep light near and darkness afar. Circle us, O Lord. Come near to us and teach us your ways. Amen. Thank you. We might just lay the ribbon on the floor. I didn't quite make it all the way round, but I'd like you to consider yourselves circled. So what is hope? We're going to be thinking about it this morning. And we're going to be thinking about it using a particular resurrection account after Jesus' death. Lots of those accounts after Jesus died and was in that in-between stage when he was on earth and yet after his death are all about hope. And we're going to be thinking about one of those this morning. But given the global crisis that we find ourselves in, given our personal experiences, sometimes hope can feel as thin as that ribbon. But hope remains among us. And in this service together, we're going to wonder together what hope might look like for us here in Witney and what we might do to practice it together. So we're going to sing our first song. It's number 455 in Singing the Faith. All My Hope on God is Founded. And junior church leaders could leave if they wanted to, but they can't really because they've got no children. We'll stand and sing this together. Going to have our first reading now. Thanks, Linda.
First reading is Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. And I'm reading from the New International Version. And it's entitled Israel Unrepentant. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Amen.
Thanks, Linda. That's a lovely picture from the prophet Isaiah of how God will come to us, how God will revive us. And it's interesting that it uses that three-day imagery. We're going to be talking about that in our gospel reading as well. 3 days. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. This prophet is also talking about 3 days, and we'll have another 3 days in our gospel reading later. That passage also talks to us about the things that have gone wrong in our lives, and perhaps a little of why they've gone wrong. Oftentimes, things go wrong in our lives for no good reason. They just seem to happen, don't they? And oftentimes, things go wrong in our lives because of bad choices that we have made. Sometimes, things go wrong in our lives because of the bad choices that other people have made. Things that our parents have done or our grandparents, things that our ancestors have done that leave a legacy that we have to deal with. So we're going to just spend a moment now in the service, in a time of confession, for the things that we have done that are not good for God's world, or for the things that we have left undone in God's world. And I'm going to use a form of prayer from the Iona community. So let's pray together. We celebrate the work of your Spirit, Lord, encouraging people the world over to work for justice and peace, to speak for the voiceless, and to always anticipate that the best is yet to come. Blessed be your name. If, however, we have driven a wedge between piety and peacemaking, or erected a wall between prayer and politics, or associated the purposes of heaven with only the gentler things of earth, God of justice, forgive us and show yourself. If we have offered to false gods the devotion that you alone deserve, if we have dismissed the gospel as irrelevant to the world, God of justice, forgive us and show yourself. If we have dumbed down your word and domesticated your spirit because we wanted an easier faith or a tamer dove, God of justice, forgive us and show yourself. And so we think back over this last time in our lives personally. We think of the times where we have not been the person that God called us to be. We lay that before God's throne now. Not in fear, but in a sense of trust and honesty. May God our Maker bless us and wrap us round in love and tenderness. May Jesus our brother bless us and ask us the questions that lead us to do justice. And may the Holy Spirit bless us, fill our lives with her courage and her wisdom. And may we live bravely in the love of the Trinity all our nights and days, because we are a forgiven people, a people deeply loved, a people encircled by God's Spirit, and we are once more made new again. Amen. We're going to sing again now. It's in Singing the Faith 343, All of My Days. Thank you. That was beautifully played and sung. I love that hymn. You're the way, the truth, and the life, the way. We're going to think about our exploration of hope this morning, thinking about the way. Sometimes helpful, isn't it, for us to reflect on hope? I think it's something most of us have experienced at some point in our lives. Let's hope we have all had a bit of hope at some point. But what is hope? Is it a little bit more than false reassurance that everything's going to be fine? I'd like to think so. In the resurrection accounts after Jesus' death, we get some glimpses of what hope might look and feel like, what it looked and felt like then, and what it might look and feel like for us. Several resurrection accounts after the death of Jesus invite us to consider scenarios that we've never experienced. But that doesn't mean to say we haven't had things happen in our own lives involving grief or bewilderment or awe or wonder or loss. So we're going to particularly think about one of those after resurrection experiences this morning. David's going to read it to us now.
New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 24, and I'm reading from the NIV. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, David. So, the story of the road to Emmaus, Jesus has been crucified, and his disciples have no idea what's happening next. And so they walk, these two particular disciples walk back to what they know. I have the most amazing job in the world, I think. As head of mission of the Methodist Church in Britain, I get to do the most incredible and wonderful things, and I go to the most incredible and wonderful places. One of the places that I was able to go to this year was Costa Rica. I have to say it with a sort of R, Costa Rica, otherwise you don't say it right. When I was visiting the Methodist Church there, I heard this apparently true story. You can decide for yourselves whether or not you think it's true. So, apparently, they tell me, the story's about a Brazilian businessman, and he had about $10,000 in cash. He didn't know what to do with it. He didn't want anybody to steal it. So he thought to himself, I'll hide it in the rubbish bin, and then nobody will know about it. Nobody will find it. So he hid this $10,000 in cash in the rubbish bin. And sure enough, nobody stole it. However, the cleaner came along, picked up the rubbish bin, and threw it away in the rubbish. When he came to look for his $10,000, it was gone. Life's a bit like that sometimes, isn't it? You think you've got something. I don't know, your health or your wealth or your family or something, and all of a sudden it's gone. In Costa Rica, they tell another story. And again, I don't know if it's true, but you can judge for yourselves. This story goes like this. They tell the story of a chap called Enrico, who was a Brazilian pauper, who made a living for himself by searching through the rubbish tip. The story goes that Enrico was searching through the rubbish tip where he found a small bag full of dollar bills, $10,000 bills. And he rejoiced greatly and went home and bought his family a big meal and a deposit on a house. Sometimes life can do that to you too, can't it? Suddenly, unexpected joy pops into our lives in ways that we don't expect it. Sometimes awful things happen to us. Sometimes joyous things happen to us. So these two disciples walking down the road, they have had a pretty awful thing happening to them. They feel like everything has been taken away from them. They feel like it's been thrown away with the rubbish, if you like. All is lost. One of the disciples in the story has a name. He's called Cleopas. The other one doesn't have a name. But I like to think it might have been Mrs. Cleopas, because they go home together and they seem to live in the same house. I see no reason why they shouldn't be a married couple walking down the road, but that's not biblical, that's just my imagining. But two disciples walking down the road. The fact that they're walking down that road is interesting, because it's in the version you said it was seven miles. My version says it's 11 kilometres. It's not a short walk, right? And it's obviously getting towards evening, because the tail end of the reading that David read and the next bit says that it was getting evening and they went into their home together. They are in the pit of despair. But despite the fact that they're really, really down, and they're walking 7 miles, 11 kilometres, a long way, and it's not an easy road, that road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and it's getting dark, when a stranger walks alongside them, they enter into conversation with them. I think that's quite interesting because, I don't know about you, I mean, I don't often walk that far, but were I to be walking that far, were I to be feeling very miserable, and somebody were to walk alongside me, I think I'd be tempted to ignore them. But these two disciples don't. They have a conversation about them. They join in conversation with this strange man. And they tell this strange man about Jesus of Nazareth, this mighty prophet who's been handed over and been put to death by the authorities. And then they say this, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. I think it's the most poignant line in the Bible. We had hoped. We had hoped that things would be different. We had hoped that Jesus would defeat Herod and Pilate and the rest of the ruthless people who were occupying our land and our people. We'd hoped that our friend and our teacher would still be alive. I mean, we took great risks in following him. We staked our reputations, our lives on him. We had hoped that things would be different. We had hoped. If you're like me, you may well have uttered that line yourselves at one time or another. We had hoped a relationship would work out. Or we had hoped there would be that job offer. We had hoped that God wouldn't feel so far away. All of us, I think, are surrounded by unfulfilled hopes. We had hoped that the chemo or the radiation would have worked. We hoped that the depression wouldn't return. We had hoped that our children would grow up in a safer world. We'd hoped that there would be a ceasefire in Gaza. We'd hoped to be able to enjoy our retirement with those that we loved. We hope it would be clearer where we're supposed to go from here as a church. There's a lot of disappointment and heartbreak bound up in those words, we had hoped. But they're also so honest, aren't they? We had hoped. More often than we would like, our experience is more like that Brazilian businessman who had hoped that he would have hidden his $10,000 in a sensible place. Often the things we hope for don't come to fruition. We don't get the job, we can't figure out how to reconcile with a family member, or the illness somehow progresses. The ones we love say goodbye. Or we want our bodies to do the things they used to do. They don't work as well as they did anymore. Or our politicians, the ones we thought were really good, turn out not to be as good. The promises get broken. People let us down. The words that we speak on our Emmaus road are words of pain. They're words of disappointment. They're words of yearning. They're the words we say when we've come to the end of our hopes. We had hoped. And I want us to be really honest this morning, and I know it's difficult, but really honest. Sometimes the Jesus that turns up along that Emmaus road isn't even the Jesus we'd hoped for, because he doesn't turn up all singing and dancing and, I am Jesus, I've come to save you. He just walks alongside them and explains things slowly and calmly. There's not some magic bang and everything's all right again. Even the Jesus we hoped for sometimes isn't the Jesus we get. Perhaps that disappointment that we face on the Emmaus Road is the disappointment that the Jesus we thought of isn't the Jesus who is really real. The Jesus who's really real walks closely alongside us, quietly, sometimes hidden, but always speaking the words that we need to hear. In spite of all this, we as Christians, right now, right this morning, are deeply called to be people of hope. I think more than any time I've been alive, right now, we need Christians to stand up as people of hope. We need that for us, but we need it also for the world. We are receivers of the gospel promise, and that promise is that things will not always be as they are, and things aren't always as they seem. Transformation is possible. So let's have a little look at that reading and see if there are lessons in it for us about how we might practice hope in seemingly hopeless places. Well, as well as talking to Mr. and maybe Mrs. Cleopas, Jesus does something quite radical, because Jesus listens. In fact, he does that first, if you look at the reading. He asks them what's happened, and he hears them out. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I've asked somebody and I know what they're going to say, I don't bother to hear them out. But Jesus does. I mean, Jesus knows more than anybody what happened on the cross. He doesn't go, no, no, I know that. He listens deeply to them. And then he tells the story back to them. But as he does it, somehow the story changes. And in the retelling of the story, it becomes what it really always was, something bigger, deeper, wiser, richer. It's as if Jesus is saying, here's what you're leaving out. Here's what you're missing. There's a female theologian called Debbie Thomas, and she puts it like this. When Jesus tells the story back to those disciples, he restores both its context and its wonder. He grounds the story in memory, in tradition, in history, in scripture, and he helps the travelers comprehend their place in the narrative that long precedes them. A narrative big enough to hold their disappointment without being defeated by it. We are part of a story that is big enough to hold our disappointment without being defeated by it. Perhaps that's one of the biggest gifts that we as a church, as Christians, could offer to other people. Perhaps it's the most poignant gift that the church has to a world that is grieving and sad and disappointed. A broader perspective, a deeper hope, something wider than the narrow narratives that are being perpetrated today. We are part of a bigger picture. We see ourselves as a global movement for good, a global way of changing and transformation. And we do that by listening. Sometimes when we find ourselves on our own Emmaus roads, our lenses can become very small. We can become a bit myopic. We lose sense of the bigger picture of which we're all a part. But communities of faith, like this one, are able to place our lives in a bigger context, a more expansive context. So when, like Cleopas and his companion, we find ourselves on the road, we need to see ourselves as part of a bigger and better story. So the first practice for practicing hope, I would say, is a deep listening to our neighbours, to our people, and a placing of ourselves in a bigger context. The second thing I want us to think about, I suppose, is that at the end of the story, which we didn't have read to us in the gospel reading, you know the end, though. They go back to the house, and Jesus breaks bread, and that's when the disciples recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Jesus takes bread and blesses it and offers it to them. So the second point for us, I think, is mealtimes and hosting. When Jesus, wherever he is in the Gospels, wherever he goes, he takes on the role of host, even in other people's houses. There was something about Jesus that when he came to a place, he became the host. Suddenly Jesus becomes the one inviting. That's often how Jesus is in our lives too, inviting us to the next step. But our job is to be inviting others, to be vulnerable to the stranger, vulnerable enough to invite them into something with us. I think that's what fellowship is. And that's, at its heart, is what it is to follow Jesus. So in this walk, Jesus offers fellowship of the word. So he does some explaining of scripture. He does listening. He does fellowship of the table. He does hosting. And then he does fellowship of everyday, daily living. And I want to offer us three things in which I think we as High Street Whitney Church are practicing hope in those ways today. First of all, fellowship around the word, study of scripture. James, I don't want to embarrass you, but James is sat at the back over there. And James is wanting to encourage us to think more deeply about Scripture, about the Word. And so he's offering a course that will be available to all of us called Disciple. What's wonderful about James, sorry to embarrass you, is that he hasn't decided we're going to do it this day, we're going to do it in this way. He's saying, let's gather around the Word and let's find out together what might work for us as we study the Word together. So, friends, invitation this morning. James is doing coffee, so you have to speak to him if you want a cup of coffee. But you could do more than just say, tea or coffee, please. You could speak to him about how you might practice hope in studying the Word, in studying what it means to be a disciple, to be people of the Word. Second thing I think we do already here at High Street as a way of practicing hope is our community meal together that happens here every Thursday. And we have several folks here who come to the community meal every Thursday. It practices hope together. Adam's here, and Adam runs the community meal. And we are a little short, shall we say, on volunteers. Not necessarily just volunteers to help and come alongside. They're very welcome. But actually, we also need a few more cooks because it's a big thing. The cooking might not be for you, but you might know someone who is a cook who might want to help. Or you might know someone who just wants to come to the meal and be part of it. But breaking bread together, having meal together, is some other way in which we can see Jesus modelled practicing hope, and we could do that. And then finally, practicing hope in the day-to-day, in the walking, in the living out of our lives. We've got Brenda with us, and Brenda's going to talk a little bit later on about experience, and you will see set up around me exciting things, and she's going to tell us a bit more about that. But experience is one way in which High Street Methodist Church practices hope, because it offers hope out in the everyday to the school children of this town. Hugely important to us. And of course, we need more people to be involved in experience too. So, Cleopas and maybe Mrs. Cleopas or Cleopas's mate were deeply unhappy people as they were walking along that road. They had just been bereaved in the most terrible circumstances. And yet they kept on somehow journeying. They embraced a stranger on the way. And they opened themselves up to new ways of thinking. They generously offered up their food and their space, their home. They did that because they were people of the way. And if, my friends, you are people of the way, sometimes you get surprised by joy in ways you didn't expect it. Sometimes when you're searching through the rubbish tip of life, you might not find $10,000, but you find other things. You have those other wonderful conversations that you didn't expect. I've had several of those at the community meal, things that have blessed me. I know that people who do the experience come away from it enriched and blessed, that somehow the rubbish that's thrown away becomes precious to us. Joy can come through sadness, and joy does come in the morning, and joy does come with those who walk the way of Jesus. And so today's gospel really does encourage us to continue living as people of the way, and it lets us be thrilled almost by the expectation that in doing that, we'll almost certainly find Jesus somewhere en route with us, surprising us with joy. So we practice hope by three things: by fellowship around the Word, by fellowship around the table, and by fellowship in our day-to-day, in our living and our sharing. So this morning, I encourage us to be those people filled with hope, to know that despite the difficulties in this life, and I'm not belittling any of those, that we have a Saviour who walks alongside with us, who explains things on the way if we're quiet enough to listen, and who always, always wants to be that loving voice that lets us know that we are never alone, never do this on our own. We always have our God to help us. Amen. We're going to have some prayers now, because when life feels hopeless, Prayer is the way in which we can communicate that with God and have our hearts changed. And Jane is going to lead that, but we're going to do it in a way with some music as well. We're going to use the Singing the Faith song, Lord of All Hopefulness, as a prayer. So we're going to sing a verse and then have a prayer, sing a verse and then have a prayer. I think it will be a lovely and beautiful way of us praying this morning. Thank you.
Thank you that with you, Lord God, there is always hope. Just as we trust that the sun will rise each morning and bring a new day, we look to you for new beginnings in our own lives and in the lives of others. We pray for children starting a new term at school, for young people just beginning apprenticeships, college or university, for new friendships, new learning, new openings. We think of marriages, babies being born, people moving home, people coming out of hospital, people coming out of prison, and people all across our world setting out with hope of a new life. Lord Jesus, we ask for your presence, your strength and guidance in the tasks that are before us each day. Be with us in the humdrum of everyday life, in the stresses at home or work. We ask you to be with those in our community and across the world who have no work yet. We pray for ourselves and for others about decisions which need to be made. We ask for your insight and your prompting. We think too of politicians and leaders everywhere who carry such authority and power. Bless them, Lord, with wisdom and vision. May this day be one of miraculous blessing and hope. A home should be a haven, a place of welcome, a space to be, and a space to grow. We pray for those who have no place of safety or place to call home. For the homeless here in Witney, and there are many, and for the millions of displaced and frightened people across our world. Jesus, we pray for your love to bring change and reconciliation amongst families, communities, and nations. May we each here be a blessing to others, sharing your kindness, reflecting your welcome day by day. May we carry your hope to the world. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this time of silence. Would you breathe your peace, Jesus, over each of us, as we hold before you all that still fills our minds and our hearts right now? Would you bring healing and reassurance and rest? Would you surround us, blanket us, wrap us with your quiet presence and your calm? Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So a final thought. I don't know if you remember the verse that I gave you right at the beginning of the service this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're feeling overflowing with hope. The only way we will ever, I think, feel overflowing with hope is if we allow God's Spirit to fill us up, to allow ourselves to be encircled by God's love. So that's my invitation for us as a church, to be filled up by God's Spirit and held in God's love and therefore enabled to go as those walking disciples did, to be salt and light in the world. I'm going to invite Brenda now just to come and talk to us a little bit about experience, and then we're going to say some words of prayer and blessing on the experience.
Words from a psalm. God has established laws which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, and they would tell them to their children, and so on and so on. Why? The psalm continues, so that they should set their hope in God. So that they should set their hope in God. And if we don't tell the children, if we don't tell the children, who's going to? And there it is in Psalm 78, a significant part of this church's mission, to tell children about our faith, that they too might come to hope in God. That's why we offer experience to local primary schools. And here we are, ready to welcome about 250 children, aged 8-ish, year 4 children, from 7 primary schools in Whitney, to come to experience Harvest with us during the next few weeks. More children will come to learn more about other Christian festivals of Christmas and Easter and Pentecost. But even more important than what they learn is what they experience through being here. A warm welcome, some fun, friendliness, love, the love of God through us. That is the most important thing that we have to offer. We've been offering experience for about 12 years now. Gradually it's grown, and we've got a new school coming this autumn. But last year, we began to ask ourselves the question of what else we could do. What else could we do to support the work of teachers in schools? And one of the answers that emerged was godly play. And we've been doing that here on and off for nearly 20 years now. In Godly Play story times, the children watch and listen to a story, perhaps from the Old Testament, or a story about Jesus. And so these fill some of the gaps that experience doesn't cover. For example, the gaps between Christmas and Easter, the story of Jesus' life. And in this way, godly play and experience complement each other. They're not in competition. They're doing different things. And they work together. And Sue and I have been sharing stories in one of our schools this year with their year 2 children, because they don't begin to come to experience till they're in year 3. And the children love it. The teacher thinks it's great. And they want us to continue with those children into year 3 and take on the new year 2 class. That's just one school. There are half a dozen others. With more help, we could do more. Perhaps it's something you'd like to help with. Around the church today, you'll see 6 different displays. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we invite you after the service to go and have a look. They won't bite. And there's quite a few of our experienced team who are here this morning. Some of them have got their name badges on. And they'll be hanging around, only too pleased to tell you what's going on in their corner. Then, if you're interested in joining this team, we have a team of 22 people, which is really good. But if you'd like to come along one morning and see experience in action with real live children, then you would be welcome to do so. Or you might like to come and find out for yourself what a godly play story time is like and how children respond to that. So if you do, there's a couple of pieces of paper at the back on little tables where you could just write your name. And if you're on church suite, then we'll know the rest about you, so you don't have to write anything else down. And if you're not on church suite, then there's some bits of paper and a box at the back where you can write your name and your email address and so on. Finally, one of the schools is too far away for the children to be able to walk. Not quite the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but it's a long way. And it would cost on the bus, which they need to catch, about £5 return, a bit less. Now, £5 isn't very much, is it, for me and possibly for you? Price of a cup of coffee in a cafe these days, and even the price of a piece of cake. But there are families in Whitney for whom the bus fare needs to be spent on food. And the head teacher feels that the children in this particular class can't come because not all the children would be able to afford the bus fare. But we believe passionately that the good news of the love of God should be free for all, and not dependent on whether or not you can afford a bus fare. So we're asking people, if you can, to leave us a donation this morning towards those bus fares. If you give by card, then you can do that as you usually do. And just look for experience. A list of things will come up. Just look for experience. Or there's plates at the back. If you've got a spare fiver or a tenner or two, you can pop them in there, and even half a crown would be welcome. And please do pray for all of those who are involved in this vital work. The leaders, some of whom, as I say, are around today, the children and the homes they come from, the teachers, and please don't just pray once. Keep on praying, because when harvest is over, a few weeks later, it'll be experience Christmas. And then next term, it'll be experience Easter. And after that, it'll be experience Pentecost. So there's a whole year's worth of praying for you, and then there's the year after. So just please support us like that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jean. Before you go, we have a prayer that we would like to say together, but I'm wondering, could we send the experienced people to their stations at this point? Experienced people, go to your stations. Oh, this the power. I know. Look at this. I have to say, I'm very excited to see this, the harvest of the flocks behind us here. I was last Sunday in the Shetland Islands with work, and this week on the Shetland Islands. This week in Shetland is what they call Wool Week, where people come from around the world to learn about wool. And I went up to meet with a crofter who runs a tiny chapel in a place called Ireland, where he takes the wool from his own sheep and dyes it. And anyway, they're very excited that they've got lots of people coming from Wool Week. I promised him we would pray for them. So if you want to join me in praying for Wool Week on Shetland and the Methodists there as they try to make an impression, please do. But anyway, sorry, that was enough time to get everybody to their stations. That was a good filling. I could be on radio too. Right, I say the bit in yellow and I invite everybody else to say the portion in white. Please feel free to adopt any posture of prayer that you would like, stand, sit, anything else. Today, we take time to think about this church's outreach to children, particularly through the Experience Programme. We hold in our hearts the children from those primary schools who will join us to experience harvest throughout this coming month. Lord, we pray for these children and the homes from which they come. We pray that they come with open hearts and curious minds. Lord, we pray for these children and the homes from which they come. We pray for the teachers and the helpers who guide them, that they may experience your presence alongside them. We pray for our volunteers who give their time and energy, that their experience of you is light and life to all they meet. Lord God, bless the ministry of experience that tells us of your harvest. May all that we do bring glory to your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We have a closing prayer and then a final song. You haven't got a chair to sit on, some of you. Will you be all right? Okay. Let's just say our closing prayer together. And again, I will say the yellow words and invite you to say the white ones. Christ Jesus, on whom the Spirit rests, guide us on our journey as pilgrims of hope. Christ Jesus, bringer of good news, guide us on our journey as pilgrims of hope. Christ Jesus, liberator of captives and all who are oppressed, guide us on our journey as pilgrims of hope. Christ Jesus, restorer of sight, guide us on our journey as pilgrims of hope. Christ Jesus, proclaimer of the year of the Lord's favor, guide us on our journey as pilgrims of hope. Christ Jesus, in whom the scripture was fulfilled, guide us on our journey as pilgrims of hope. Lead us all to be signs of your hope in our world. Amen. So we're going to sing our final hymn now, In Christ Alone. It's number 351 in Singing the Faith.
Thank you.
And so this morning, church, if you're feeling a bit battered and bruised as those disciples were on the road to Emmaus, remember that those were the disciples that were the beginning of the church, and the church is still going, and we are the church, and we will make a difference in our world because of the God who lives in us. May we be a blessing, that we may bless the world. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Cups of tea and coffee and come back in if we want to talk to people. Can we break that rule? There used to be a rule that we couldn't bring tea and coffee in. We'll be very careful not to spill our coffee, but if you like, you could bring your coffee back in to talk to people.